as soon as you have a dream, there's always about a dozen people who will tell you why it's a bad idea. And if you listen to them, you just won't accomplish what God would have you do.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, I think it's going to go good. Today's Maggie's 16th birthday, so sweet 16. I've already kissed her, so that's taken care of. We're not trying to encourage any of that other smooching or friends there who might be boys. So we're not going that direction. But it's snowing. It's snowing pretty good right now up here. And we're starting to head down to your neck of the woods, Scott. No, it's not really your neck of the woods, but Nashville. So what's the weather like down there right now? Like in the southern Indiana-ish?
It's foggy.
Foggy?
It's supposed to snow a little later, but I don't know.
Okay, well, that's good. Because we're speaking at our first big homeschool convention down in Nashville, and we're excited about going. Always a little nervous because, you know, I'm always afraid I'm going to forget stuff and we're a little rusty. We're not taking the RV. We're just taking a trailer with a Suburban, but we're starting down. Lots of things happening in the Wilson house, you know, just change, you know, change, Scott. I really do hate it. I'm not very good at it. You know, Catherine got married last weekend and that's been not too bad until I was like, in the hallway, my wife had picked up some stuff, you know, like they were cleaning out a room. And one of the things they had was this pink sign. I know I had bought it at like Hallmark and it said, it's a girl. And then a white space where you could write in the name. And I had written Catherine and I put it at the end of my driveway with some balloons to let everybody know in the neighborhood that we had a girl. And I'm like, whoa, I mean, it just stopped me dead in my tracks. And to think my daughter's gone and she's just got back from her honeymoon yesterday. We haven't seen her yet. We're going to see her today. She got back late last night. And again, we're all gathering for Maggie's birthday. And Ike and Caroline, you know, who are married, they're planning to go to Florida to work at Disney World. And they're just a couple weeks off right now. And this will be my first kid who like moves away. Mm. And that feels a little weird to me.
Rough,
and now they're not planning to stay super long. You know, I would say a year or less. But still, you know, when you see your son, like he was just here yesterday, just, you know, sending some stuff out through our shipping stuff at the Family Man Barn. And we were just talking for a few minutes down in my office and he's not going to be there. And that's kind of weird to me. But hey, enough about me. We've got a special guest today, Randy McCoy. He's actually down in Nashville, so I could get a firsthand weather report from him. So, Randy, it is good having you on the show today.
Todd, I'm so grateful you invited me. And I'm over here just wiping up my tears and, you know, listening to your stories. Because it's hard when you start letting go of your kids. I know I've got... Yeah, I've got three grown sons, and I feel for you. I know those emotions, and us dads, we all go through it just as hard as, you know, as moms. So, but anyway, yeah, the weather report here is gloomy.
but no snow.
It's not. I mean, you know, they always threaten snow here because they really want snow here, but it just never does.
So. I know, and they get all the kids' hopes up.
Yeah,
and maybe in a few parents, and then nothing. Rain.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day it snowed and it didn't even stick. It was like white rain. It was really strange.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's the story of my life up here. But I've known Randy, I don't know, for a long time, really. You know, we spoke down in Nashville. I don't know. Was it the State Fairgrounds, County Fairgrounds?
Yeah, it's a state fairgrounds. Yeah, we had the Middle Tennessee Home Education Association book fair, you know.
And that's where Randy and I started this conversation a long time ago. We went out to dinner with our wives. You know, we just connected back and forth. But they don't know who you are, Randy. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, about your family? You've already told us you have three grown sons, but tell us the rest.
Well, I've been in Nashville almost 20 years now, moved from Charlotte, North Carolina. We homeschooled our kids, and you know that's how we got connected in the homeschool community. So right now I'm entering into just a fantastic season of life where I've got grandkids, and we're trying to be empty nesters, but my son and his family had to move in those for a short period of time because they had a spider infestation. But those kinds of things happen. But yeah, it's just a great, great time of life right now. So I'm really excited about being able to write and do things on the more creative side. You know, as you enter into the later season of life, you can just do things that you've always wanted to do, but you didn't have time. So this is a great, great place to be.
You know, and the thing I like about Randy is that he's just got a good dad heart. I mean, he would always, you know, respond to certain emails that we sent out on our weekly mail. And I could tell from early on that his heart was in tune with his kids. Yeah, I mean, they were little kids at the time. Now they're all grown up. And
they're all grown up, yeah.
Wow.
Three daughters in love and five grandchildren. And my wife and I have been married for 34 years next month. Wow. My wife, Patty. So, yeah, it's just really blessed.
Well, I, again, why we're having you on the show is because you've written a new book. But before we talk about your new book, I don't know how many years ago you wrote a book called The Arrow. And we got a copy of it, and my kids still talk about it every once in a while. And I'll say something, I'm like, there, you know, that guy down, and he wrote, and then they talk about the book. Tell us about the first book you wrote.
Yeah, like you said, The Arrow, I released it in somewhere around 2007. It was inspired mainly from my work with the Cub Scouts. You know, my boys all, you know, went through Cub Scouts, and they had this ceremony called the Arrow of Light. And they, you know, they compare the effectiveness of an arrow kind of with the development of a young man. And so I started writing that kind of story, but then it kind of was quickly overpowered with a spiritual component. And God downloaded a story about a blacksmith, you know, forging arrowheads from the nails of an ancient execution. I'm using air quotes. The arrows, you know, they're permanently bloodstained, and whoever possesses them have powers of healing and can see the future. And so the book became more of a Christian allegory than just a story about an arrow. And it follows a young man named Chets and how the arrow intersects his life and the lives of some other amazing characters. And, you know, there's adventure and suspense and love and brotherhood, great friendships, angels, demons. And then there's this mysterious figure named Yasha, who appears at just the right time. And Yasha is kind of a derivative. It's a derivative of the Hebrew word for Joshua, which is the same word for Jesus in Greek. So that's kind of a flyover of the first book.
Now, did you think, you know, like if I had asked you 20 years ago, oh, so are you going to write a book, or would you want to be an author? Would you have said you did, or was that something that just came along for a specific reason or need?
I've always liked writing. I got an English degree, and so I've always been, you know, writing something, and usually it's technical journals or something like that, or something for work. But then, you know, I just would scribble different things. But then when this idea came along about the arrow, it's just one of those things that happens. You just start writing, and then the story starts telling itself. I don't know how to describe it any other way, but you just basically hang on and let the story write itself.
Right.
So that's how my experience.
Okay. That was 2007. Now you have a second book. You know, why a second book? Is it connected? Maybe a little synopsis of the book.
Yeah. So The Arrow kind of ended on a cliffhanger. Basically what happened was I was writing. And I told my wife, I said, you know, how do I stop? I just don't know how to stop. And she said, well, just where are you in the book? And I described it to her. She goes, that's a good place to stop right there.
All right.
And so I was like, okay. So, but it kind of left the readers like, well, you know, what happened? And so I just really wanted to continue on. And so I started the second book, but it had been so long since I wrote the first book that, you know, I introduced some new characters that needed a backstory. So basically what I did was I went through the first book, which wasn't written as well as the second book, because I got better at it over the years.
Right.
Yeah. So what I did was I combined the two stories into one. And then some other things started happening, like this common thread of slavery emerged, you know, through both books. And then a strong female character rose up, and then my focus started shifting towards the slavery and redemption. The title Thief of Slaves kind of describes it, everything. It's, you know, we are slaves to sin, but Jesus set us free. And he does the same thing in this story.
And the cover kind of captures that well. It's very creepy. I mean, it has this haunting look of this girl, you know, her hand up there, and she's not skeletal, but she's obviously held captive. And yeah. I mean, it's a great cover.
Yeah, thank you. I really, really loved it. I found a guy in Venezuela, of all places, who did that cover for us. And in this world where the internet connects us all, I found him online, and he just did a great, great version of that
book. It is not a picture you'd want hanging over your bedroom wall. You know, you wouldn't want to be staring at this every night.
Well, let me explain that just a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, I get a lot of my inspiration through fantasy novels, like, you know, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. So when you think about, you know, if you go and see a book cover, you know, it describes what book you're going to read. Well, if it's a fantasy novel, you're going to see castles and, you know, kind of things like that, different colors that would give you an idea. This might not be a book about romance, you know.
Right. This is not
a book about something else. So that's kind of the reason I went that direction with it. But again, it's Christian allegory, and it's, you know, it's not pure scripture. I tried to make it popular, you know, make it appealing to most anybody. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to maybe start a story, you know, start a discussion. If someone's read this book, if they're reading it as a book club or something, start a discussion about Jesus, you know, and redemption. So it definitely is. I can go back, you know, if you describe it, it's the same thing. It's about a young man named Chets and a young woman named Nabia, and how the arrow intersects their lives and the lives of some amazing characters. There's adventure, suspense, love, brotherhood, great friendships, angels, demons, and this mysterious character named Yasha, who appears at just the right time. I asked my wife, you know, to kind of give me a quick synopsis of the book, and she said it was about supernatural, unseen forces that help ordinary people reach their destiny. How's that for a 30-second book synopsis?
So, Randy, what do you hope, you know, for the readers of your books? What do you want them to take away from it? Because I know, like, you know, some writers will say, oh, you know, it's all up to the reader. They can take away what they want. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's totally true, if they truly write it that way, but I assume, you know, you didn't just write it to give people something to do for 5 hours. what would you like for them to take away?
You know, really, it's, you know, when it's your baby, you really want people to like it.
So buy it.
Yeah, I really think, you know, I really want people to like the book. I want them to like the story. Mm-hmm. You know, and then be able to share it with their friends, because the story is really a message of hope, and it should be a catalyst, you know, for people to talk about the gospel, for example. And, you know, the other kind of thing that really emerged from this was the problem with slavery, and maybe it will raise awareness of the problem we have with slavery now. And in fact, you know, slavery is even worse now than it was. I think this is like the worst time in history for slavery. And, you know, as long as people know more about it and can help their local, you know, in their local context and even around the world, that will make the, you know, world a better place. And that part of that is really bringing Jesus into the equation and how he sets us free from our slavery of sin and death. So, yeah.
Well, what would you say, because, you know, you've written two books, and because I know there's a dad out there, and maybe several dads out there, because I talk to them all the time. They come up to me, you know, who's thinking about writing a book. And I know it can feel kind of daunting, and you've done it. And what would you say to the dad who maybe has an idea and he's thinking about writing a book?
Well, I think the main advice is just to start. You know, most people are like, oh, I want to write a book. And, you know, how do I get started? Well, for me, if you're just starting, just get a piece of paper or, you know, a piece of digital paper and just start writing and put down your thoughts. It depends on the kind of book you're writing. Obviously, if you're doing fiction, it's like a picture. You start painting, sketching with it, and then you add color, you add depth. If you're writing a nonfiction, you might want to outline, you know, your thoughts and then fill in the blanks as you get more context. You know, once you get your story, once you get your idea on paper or on Word, just also the one of the hardest things about writing is editing. And so before you put your baby out there into the world, make sure that it's really polished and use one of those online editors. I mean, I use one I've used for many years called AutoCrit, and that's a fiction kind of based editor. And then, of course, every time you go to YouTube, you see Grammarly pops up. At least it does for me. And so I have to click it down all the time. But maybe Grammarly would be a good place to start. Something like
that. It works pretty good. I've got like the trial version and it's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't actually used it because I have some other stuff, but you know, I see it come up all the time. But you just have to take time to edit and make sure that what you say is well said so that people, it's very readable. That just takes, it took me more time to actually edit the books than it did to write them. I've been editing for years and have people read it and say, this is what have people give you feedback. And then if you start a blog, for example, and every week you add something to it, kind of like Todd does, you know, with his, he just keeps adding things to it. And then you'll have, at the end of the day, you'll have a manuscript, and then you can, take it and make a book out of it.
Yeah. Well, how would they, because I'm sure there are going to be some guys who want to get a hold of this book. What's the best way to get a hold of the book? And, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how might they do that?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, and, you can do the Kindle or you can get the hard copy. You can connect with the novel on the Facebook page. It is Thief of Slaves on Facebook. I forgot to mention this earlier, but Todd, the first book that I wrote, I entered it into the Amazon Breakthrough Novel Contest. Mm. And that was in 2011. And I was thrown into a young adult genre, and there was 5,000 books that I was up against. And I made it through four rounds of judging to the top 250. So
I was pretty proud of it.
But if I had just gone one more round, I would have made, they would have given it like a full edit, proofread it, all that kind of stuff. So I was pretty disappointed. But but overall, I was real pleased with it getting that far.
Well, I just got to encourage Dez to maybe check out the book Thief of Slaves on Amazon or the Facebook page again. It looks like a great read, and if my kids are a good judge, and I think they are, like I said, they've been talking about your last book for how many years is that? A long time.
The original book I started in 2002, give you an idea.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it just takes time when you're raising kids and working for a living. And
Exactly.
Yeah, you make time. So my hat's off to you who just keeps turning it out.
There are guys who do. Well, Randy, I sure appreciate you taking time out, on a gloomy day to meet with us. And I hope, Dads, that you're encouraged by hearing him, by hearing his story and the story that he's written. So thanks for joining us, Randy, even though we had a few technical difficulties that maybe nobody else heard. They were all on my end. In fact, you just disappeared for a little while, but I thought, I'm going to hold out. Maybe he'll come back in. So I'll have to listen to the show to hear what you said on those points. But thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you. My honor's all mine. I appreciate it. And you guys have a great rest of the week.
Well, Scott, I don't know about you, but what I'm always intrigued by, I guess, are just people who kind of follow not their dreams, and it's not just their passion, but they had an idea and they kind of followed through, because I know we all have ideas and we all say, I wish I would do that. And I just like Randy, it took him a while to complete it, but he did it. And I think his advice of just starting is the way to go. My son, Ike, he's the one who's selling screen cans on Etsy, but he's all about that. I mean, he is not overwhelmed or dissuaded from starting something by how big it is. He just does it. And I like that in a guy, but maybe you, Dad, have something you've been thinking about. Can I just encourage you to take the first step? Again, there's nothing lost. You don't have to go and sell your house, but maybe if you're thinking about traveling full time or doing something, maybe you just, again, look into it, talk to your wife and say, what are the possibilities? Or maybe you You know, you open up that file and you start in the beginning or whatever. You just once upon a time and you start your story. But you should do it. You should do it. And then you get my book. This is another plug for books, Dream Big, which will tell you exactly the same thing. Because I don't know about you, again, but I've learned that as soon as you have a dream, there's always about a dozen people who will tell you why it's a bad idea. They may not say it that way, but they'll say, yeah, but, you know, like the world needs another book, you know, or how are you going to sell the books when all the... And if you listen to them, you just won't accomplish what God would have you do. So anyway, well, hey, I got to go to... I was hoping the snow would cancel our homeschool co-op, but I got to go do gym. So thanks for listening, Dad. Have a great week. And enjoy your children because they're growing up so, so fast. And if you got a birthday coming up, make it a good one. Do it because you did, Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.